sisters, mis hermanos y mis hermanas, comrades. You may think you know something about solitary, but in truth, you don't. You may have a loved one in prison who's experienced it and told you about it. But still, I say, you don't know it. You know the word. And between the word and reality, a world exists. You don't know that world. But the closest we may come is to say it must be like life on another planet, one where the air is different, where the water is different, where wildlife and flora and fauna mean different things. For as you know the word torture, you don't know how it feels. The pain, the loss, the humiliations all elude you. For solitary is torture, state torture, official torture, government-sanctioned torture. Some may call that hyperbole or exaggeration, but I've lived in solitary longer than many, most perhaps, Americans have been alive. I've seen men driven mad as a hatter by soul-crushing loneliness. Men who have sliced their arms until they look like railroad tracks, or sliced their necks, or burned themselves alive. This isn't something I've read about in psychology books or newspaper reports. I've seen it with these eyes, with I write these words. I've smelled the blood. I've smelled the nauseating stench of the smoke. Why? Because humans are social creatures, and solitary confinement kills that which is human within us. Now, why did these men do these things? We can't really know. If I could guess, I'd say they simply wanted to feel something, to feel as if they were alive. I've seen men beaten while handcuffed, shot with tasers and electrified shields, and gassed with pepper gas, really a form of liquid cayenne pepper, which inflames the eyes, nasal passages, and mouth. As America embarks on its second century of mass incarceration, breaking every repressive record ever made, it's also breaking every record in regards to solitary confinement, locking up, isolating, and torturing more and more people for more and more time. As I've noted elsewhere, like in my Live from Death Row, for example, in 1890, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the case In Re Medley, held that solitary confinement for a man on Colorado's death row was unconstitutional. In a sense, over a century later, the law has lurched backwards. Today, such an idea would be considered laughable, if not unthinkable. According to some estimates, there are over 100,000 people in solitary across the country. I happen to believe this is a conservative estimate. But no matter the number, the reality is stark. Under international law, solitary confinement is torture. Period. And if it happens to one man, one woman, one child, it is torture nonetheless, and a crime under international law, or, put another way, the law of nations. That's because such a policy has one primary purpose: to destroy human beings by destroying their minds. Is it cruel and unusual and thus violative of the Eighth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution? Apparently, this was so in the 1890s, but not so in the present, probably because of who was in prison then and who are now. It may surprise you to know that at the end of the 19th century, blacks were a distinct minority of American prisoners. And while numbers certainly swelled post-slavery to build the prison contract labor industry, really slavery by another name, the biggest bounce in black imprisonment came in the aftermath of the civil rights and black liberation movements, when black people en masse opposed the system of white supremacy, police brutality, and racist injustice. And then the empire strikes back. Indeed, never in the history of the modern world have we seen such a vast machinery of repression. And the U.S. is the world's undisputed leader in imprisonment of its citizens. Neither China, Russia, nor any other nation comes close. As scholar and law professor Michelle Alexander has aptly described it, the U.S. has reconstituted the new Jim Crow. And as prison populations explode, the law becomes increasingly more supportive of this repression, increasingly more supportive of solitary, and less tolerant of the notion of equal rights or even equal access to courts. These factors have continued to be a problem irrespective of whether under Republican or Democratic administrations, for repression is apparently truly bipartisan. But all is not gloom and doom. People have the power to transform their grim realities. All they have to do is fight for it, organize. When people get together and fight together, they create change. They make change. If you want to shut down solitary confinement, you can do it. You've got to organize and fight for it. If you find the prison industrial complex intolerable, then organize and fight it. This is not Pollyannish or pie in the sky. This is as gritty and as down to earth as spinach. It's as real as dirt, as real as steel, as real as blood, as real as life. Whenever any social advance has happened, it's because people fought for it, often against their own government. For governments ever embrace the status quo. During the U.S. Civil War, one of Lincoln's severest critics was Frederick Douglass, the fiery black ex-slave and abolitionist. When Lincoln died a few years later, Douglass would both mourn his passing and laud his accomplishments. It was Douglass who said, "Power concedes nothing without demand. It never has and never will." That lesson of our ancestor is still true. We must demand what we want and fight for it, period. If we want the closing of solitary confinement, we can make it happen. If we want people like Delbert Africa, Mike Africa, Russell Maroon Schultz, Janet Africa, Phil Africa, Janine Africa, Chuck Africa, Debbie Africa, Leonard Peltier, Jaleel Montequin, Ed Africa, or Mutulu Shakur freed, we can make it happen. If we want prison abolition, we can make it happen. Really, truly. But we got to fight for it. We must organize, because movements make change. So let us build such a movement so that it shakes the very earth. Don't rely on voting, for politics is but the cruel art of betrayal. Rely on working together and fighting for change. For power concedes nothing without demand. Build the movement. Let us go forth and make the change we want. For we are the hope of more people than we know. And people make change. On the move. Long live John Africa. Power concedes nothing without demand. Down with solitary. Shut Attica down. Down with the prison industrial complex. From Imprisoned Nation, this is your brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.